Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
You got to go higher register to get up there.
If they win this game,
touchdown, Hollywood Higgins!
This weekend against Tennessee,
higher register.
At worst, they could finish 12-4.
And they win it. The Browns are 9-3.
The Rich Eisen Show. Today's guests. From NBC Sports, Peter King. Yahoo Sports columnist, Pete Thamel. Plus, ESPN NFL analyst, Damian Woody. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All righty, everybody. Welcome to this edition of The Rich Eisen Show. My gosh, there's lots to talk about here on this Monday in 2020. My name is Rich Eisen. I'm your host and best dad ever. Hey, everybody. Chris Brockman is dressed as Cam Newton, fresh off of a 45-0 shutout beatdown of your Los Angeles Chargers. Is that how he came dressed yesterday? Ish?
Ish. I don't own a tan trench coat, so this is
the
best.
See, puffy jacket with a zipper?
Best I could do.
I mean, that's more members only than shutouts only.
It's olive. Like it.
Very
know.
Good.
I tried.
Well, anyway, congrats, man. Your Patriots are 6-6.
How about that?
Mike Del Tufo back from his boxing boondoggle. Good to see you, sir.
Good to see you, Rich.
Good to see you back in the mix. You should remove the not sign that Jason had there.
So these
you are Mike Del Tufo. There you go.
Sorry, Rich.
Fantastic. Okay. Our social media grandmaster, TJ Jefferson, is settling his way into his seat shortly right here on the program. We have got so much to talk about here on this show. My gosh. Let's start with the two teams that have clinched playoff spots. We've got two teams in two of the 14 teams. It's going to take a while for me to get used to that. There are 14 playoff spots this year, just one for whoever finishes in first place in each conference. Interestingly enough, the team that clinched in the AFC is not the undefeated team in the AFC.
Weird.
When is the 11-0 team not playoff clinch, but the 11-1 team is? Well, now. I can't explain it to you. I honestly don't know how to explain it to you, but the bottom line is we've got ourselves a clinched playoff team, and that's the Kansas City Chiefs in the American Football Conference. Tonight, the Pittsburgh Steelers can clinch if they win against the Washington football team. That's it. Pittsburgh had a chance to clinch a playoff spot yesterday. Had any of these three teams lost, the Dolphins didn't lose.
Nope.
The Colts didn't lose. And the Raiders almost lost. We'll get to that in a second.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
The New Orleans Saints have clinched a playoff spot. They clinched a playoff. And again, this is not division clinching or anything like that. The New Orleans Saints have clinched a playoff spot in the National Football League. They've got the X next to their name. They're the one seed in the NFC right now. They're the one seed in the NFC right now. And with the Seahawks losing to the Giants, my higher register on Fridays, maybe Colt McCoy can be the answer for the Giants. Chris, I know our show open was, you know, hey, the Cleveland Browns could finish 12-4. Worse. And that's still possibly in the mix. But hey, Colt McCoy and the New York Giants took care of business against Seattle, and with the Rams beating the Cardinals, who have fallen and cannot get up. Oof. They're at 6-6. They are at the top of sniffing it. The Rams are currently your three seed. The Seahawks are now the top wild card team at 8-4. And if the season ended today, they'd visit the Giants. It would be a rematch of yesterday's game.
Wow.
And the Cardinals at 6-6, if not for the fail Murray, they'd have lost five in a row. And that one win was sandwiched in between the current losing streak and the previous week's loss to Tua and the Dolphins, which, by the way, was preceded by that overtime win over the Seattle Seahawks, in which Seattle had that game won and Arizona needed so much to go their way to actually win that game. They could be on a six-game losing streak right now. It's insane what's going on with Arizona. And the 49ers can join them at 6-6 tonight. And look who's in the playoffs right now as a wild card. Your seventh-seeded Minnesota Vikings. Justin Jefferson has 1,000 yards receiving. He's making his case for Offensive Rookie of the Year, certainly since the clubhouse leader going into yesterday's game as such. wound up putting a grand total of 0 points on the board yesterday. Bill Belichick just loves to have rookie quarterbacks for breakfast, brunch, lunch, dinner, and what my children call linner, which is in between lunch and dinner.
Man, I did not see that coming yesterday.
So there's all of that. Now then, we'll talk a lot more about these teams with our guests today. Peter King's joining us in 15 minutes' time. The playoff pictures, we'll break down the playoff pictures of the man who did it on NBC Sunday Night Football, Sunday Night Football, Football Night in America. Steve Kornacki will be joining us on this program. And Damien Woody will join us at the very end in hour number three to talk about everything in Week 13 with three games left tonight, two with huge playoff implications for so many. Washington football team trying to match the Giants atop the NFC East, but the Giants have the tiebreaker on Washington, having swept it. And the Steelers needing to keep pace to stay in front of the Chiefs. And you've got the Bills, who have the Dolphins nipping at their heels in the AFC East, trying to stay one game in front of them. And the 49ers trying to do what the Vikings, which is be like the Undertaker, come off the mat and sit straight up.
Nick Mullins.
Okay, and that's a big double dip tonight. And then, of course, you've got the Ravens and the Cowboys on Tuesday night. What should have kicked off Week 13 is now ending it. Let's talk about a team that nobody has seen coming. Let's talk about a team that has the same record as the Green Bay Packers. The only teams with a better record than this team are Pittsburgh, Kansas City, and the New Orleans Saints. That's it. Only teams that they're looking up in the entire NFC and the entire NFL, and those are the teams with a better record than them. This team has the same exact record as the Green Bay Packers, who feature many people's MVP of the campaign of 2020 for many rightful reasons, and Aaron Rodgers. This 9-3 team is the Cleveland Browns. The Cleveland Browns, who made the biggest and best statement of Week 13. I said it last week a couple times. Put it in for emphasis in my show open. This show is open on Friday, that this team had an opportunity to prove its mettle, had an opportunity to stake a claim, had an opportunity to say that we are ready and we're ready to take a step forward. And the Cleveland Browns went into Tennessee, with Tennessee having so much wind at its back, with a punking of the Ravens followed by a punking of the Colts, and Derrick Henry is just steamrolling everybody. And here we thought the Titans of last year were showing up this year, and they still can. Still a lot of time left. But who went into Tennessee yesterday and took Derrick Henry straight out of the game because Derrick Henry can't be run 90 times when you've got to put 90 points on the board because you're so far behind? Who went into Tennessee yesterday and hit the Titans directly in the mouth repeatedly and scored a knockout? I know the second half there was a lot of points scored, but essentially scored a knockout by halftime. The Cleveland Browns did that. The Cleveland Browns are an outstanding football team, and I use that word, outstanding. This is what you call a team that's won 9 of its first 12, especially when they took a huge punch from a division rival in week one, absorbed a major embarrassment, have absorbed the loss of Odell Beckham. I know what the record has shown since Odell's been out, and I don't want to hear the narrative that they're a better team without Odell. You're not a better team without an all-world talent. I know that it can mess with a quarterback's mind if he's focused on one person and one person alone. But that's not the reason why Baker Mayfield has been so terrific of late, at least I don't think. This team, you call a team that's 9-3 outstanding when it has absorbed all of that. You call a team that has a quarterback that has not thrown an interception in 5 consecutive games with a running game like that and a defense that can buzz around like that and go hunt and also go cover while hunting. You call that team outstanding. In a vacuum, that's what you call that team. Now you put it all together with the Cleveland Browns history, and then you're going to be okay. Even I yesterday on game day morning thinking that the Browns are an excellent, on the verge of becoming an excellent football team. Do I actually choose them in front of, God and country? I did not. because I said I needed to see it first before I had egg on my face. Well, I have egg on my face that I didn't go and believe what I thought. And here's what is an outstanding, what an outstanding team does. What we just said, and then in terms of the entirety of their franchise, it's time to start throwing that out. Certainly when a performance like the following happened. You ready for this, Christopher Brockman? I've written it all down.
Lay it on me.
38 points, most by the Browns ever at halftime. The 31-point lead at halftime tied for the team's most ever. Last completed in 1991 and 1954 before that. Baker Mayfield's four first-half touchdowns. The only other quarterback in the history of the Cleveland Browns to do that is named Otto Graham. He's got a unitard in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Another fact that you might not know, but yes, that's how long the Browns have been around and used to have excellent people. 344 yards, four touchdowns, zero interceptions in his last five games. On top of that Baker Mayfield performance, Nick Chubb has got 100 or more scrimmage yards in each of his four games since returning from injury. They have a four-game winning streak for the second time in the same season. Yep, after getting blown out by the Ravens, they won four in a row. Last time the Browns had two different four-game winning streaks or plus in the same season was 1967. They clinched their first winning season since 2007 by winning their ninth game yesterday. They also don't know, or the opponents don't know what's coming at you. With Kevin Stefanski, the head coach, putting a whole bunch in there, they're beginning to feel it. Jarvis Landry completed a 6-yard pass to Baker Mayfield in yesterday's first half. Later on, Kendall Lamb. Okay? Offensive lineman, big man touchdown. The good people at NFL Media Group Research decided to look back. When was the last time in the same game a wide receiver completed a pass and an offensive lineman had a receiving touchdown in the same game? They're still working on it. They've gone back to 1948, haven't found a single other instance of it.
Oh, wow. Hmm.
And I'll say this, you could, Browns fans, I know you're looking for the trapdoor. Don't. The 17-season playoff drought, second longest of the Super Bowl era. Three behind the New Orleans Saints, who started the Super Bowl era with 20 straight seasons of not making the playoffs that they broke in 1986. That 17-season playoff drought, that's about to come to an end. Because the Cleveland Browns are going to have playoff-clinching scenarios. And you know who they might do it against? The Baltimore Ravens. They are coming at you with a very stout, diverse, smart, efficient offense and a defense that's going to come hit you. Well done, Cleveland Browns. Well done. And congrats to you, Browns fans. Stefanski's putting it together. How about that? Week one, they get blown out. 36-7. You're thinking, same old Browns. They are not. Uh-uh. And Mayfield has got the swagger going now. And
yeah, he's starting to feel it.
Those commercials with him hanging out in the empty stadium and all that that you see every single time. Now they're funny, aren't they, Chris?
Now they're funny.
Yeah, huh?
By the way.
Very funny. He's very funny.
He's very good in them, but they're much better when you're 9-3.
Yes, they are.
Not when you're 3-9.
Yep.
Feel me? Like last year, a little too much Baker Mayfield. This year, can't get enough.
Very good. He's funny.
He's funny.
And then how about this one? At the Giants, no longer one of those just chalk it up to a win. At the Jets and home for Pittsburgh, week 17, OM to the G. Cleveland is playing important games and ones in which they can win and make more statements, like against Baltimore. And, of course, Pittsburgh at the end of the season.
Good for Browns fans.
They enjoy it. Enjoy it. Don't look around for the trapdoor. Now then, shall we? I'm sitting around yesterday, minding my own business and watching the Las Vegas Raiders show up against the Jets. And I was nervous because I didn't know what that Raiders team was against the Falcons last week. And Jets and Raiders, when they play, strange things happen. Like, say, you know, cutting off the end of a football game in 1968 to make sure that you get to the movie Heidi on time. You know what I mean? Like Jets and Raiders just right off the bat started playing weird things. Weird things used to happen. And they still do. I remember the Jets going to the black hole with teams with that Rex Ryan had that are just beginning to crush it, and nope. So I got nervous when the Jets got up on the Raiders, and it's so conflicting to me because I do love Sam Darnold, and this team is the team that I grew up with, and I want to see succeed so badly, and here I am just rooting so hard for them to lose because they're so close with 11 awful weeks in the book, so close to getting the individual who I believe is one of the most talented quarterbacks to come out of college football in forever and a day in Trevor Lawrence. So I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, this is actually happening because Sam Darnold, despite a small amount of mistakes, but they're big ones when he turns it over, two touchdown passes and he runs one in. This is the Darnold that we're talking about, still making a little bit, still making some mistakes. And then Darren Waller shows up. And he not only shows up, but he shows up in such a big, huge way. 200 yards receiving and multiple touchdowns, not just for our fantasy team, Chris, Whirlpool of Despair, which
absolutely
is coming off the mat, kind of like the Undertaker, like the Vikings. All right? Holy cow. Darren Waller, I'm thinking, I need to look up his charity and start donating to it, like, you know, Bills fans donated to Andy Dalton for beating the Ravens all those years ago. Now I'm looking up Greg Williams' charity. Because the Jets, remarkably, put together, after receiving all of these haymakers from Darren Waller, one of the best tight ends in the business, put together 15 unanswered points. Take a four-point lead. I don't think, oh, my God. I'm without speech. I tweeted out the meme from Seinfeld. I have no speech. I'm speechless. I can't believe the Jets, after winning 11 straight games to get Trevor Lawrence in their midst. And I said winning, yeah, because this is that's the way I'm looking at losing is winning. Even if you lose, you win, is what the old phrase was from Raging Bull, the Joe Pesci line. Even if you lose, you win. Can't believe this is all going down the tubes just so we could say, hey, remember that one Sunday in week 13 when we beat the Raiders? And we're watching now Trevor Lawrence do his thing for Jacksonville. Although I'm watching Jacksonville and Mike Glennon, knock on wood if you're with me, come back on the Vikings and tie it and go into overtime. And I'm looking, I can't believe, could the Jets actually get some help and win and still win?
Good. Even when you lose, I win.
Right. Thank you, Mr. LeVar Ball. So I don't even know what I'm thinking. I'm a total mess. I'm a wreck.
Believe
I'm rooting for Mike Glennon and Derek Carr at the same time. I'm like, what the hell's happening? And then Greg Williams to the rescue. Greg Williams to the rescue. To everyone out there who thinks the fact that Greg Williams with an all-out blitz, zero coverage, okay, what that means is there's you got one-on-one. Normally, when you're preventing a Hail Mary, you put everyone in the end zone to bat it down. Or you force everything to the middle of the field for a team with no timeouts left. It's basic. It's basic. Like the one time to actually play a prevent defense, this is the moment to do it. This is the time to do it. And the Jets decide to blitz Derek Carr, who goes up top to Nelson Agholor. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, my God, Aguilar's open. And Derek Carr airmailed him. And I thought, well, there goes the best chance we got. That's it. Raiders are going to be done. And then Greg Williams does it again. He sends eight men at the quarterback and leaves a rookie who has played only five games, named Lamar Jackson, by the way, on an island against Henry Ruggs, who I thought could break the record at the combine this past year for speed.
He's so
guy
fast.
Could run 4.2. He really can. Put him on that kid with no help. And everybody out there who thinks that this is the sign of the Jets tanking, I got two things for you. Well, what a great tank job to come back and score 15 unanswered points just because you knew you had this lunatic running your defense in Greg Williams. Let's score 15 unanswered to go up by four and tank at the last second. Because Greg Williams is absolutely going to call the worst defensive coverage imaginable. Like, literally any other defensive posture would have sufficed other than this one. So that's the way the Jets tank. Let's lose 11 games and then go up by four and with 15 unanswered. And then defensively, we'll just pull the switch at the last second. Who? I mean, look, I know that things that are inexplicable in this world where the void is filled by tinfoil hat stuff in a vacuum. Okay, I get it in 2020. But there are so many smart people in the NFL are tweeting out that this is an opportunity to show that the Jets are tanking. You got to be crazy. What it was Greg Williams. I'll say this. I'll say this. Greg Williams, what it was, is a guy who is just filled with testosterone and looks across the way at Gruden. Okay, you're such a genius. Here's how big mine is. I can't just win on a prevent defense batting it down. I need to sack your quarterback and spike the football. Here, let me take my Williams out and put it on the table and stare you down, Gruden.
That's exactly what it was.
Let me take out my Williams and measure. Let's measure, John. That's what that was. It wasn't a tank. And the ultimate evidence that it wasn't a tank is this very day, 20 minutes before we went on the air, the Jets fired Greg Williams. Because I'm sure the head coach, who doesn't want to be oh and forever and doesn't want to be fired oh and forever, and had it all set up for the team to win, and Darnold did look his best all year long, he doesn't want this thing to go down like this, especially when he knows just how bat guano crazy that call was by Greg Williams. So now the Jets have a new defensive coordinator for the final four games. So I tweeted out, and I regret it, Chris. I said it here, and you were like the devil
know,
on my shoulder. Like, tweeted
know.
Out. I'm like, did they send eight men to go sack, you know, go get him?
But the thing is, like, I know you don't want to fire people. You're a good guy, but he's not a good guy.
Well, I mean, I understand you're talking about the bounty gate and all of that stuff. Like, no. It's got nothing.
I understand.
How about this?
You're worried about his, you know, how he's going to feel and how it looks for
you. No, because I work with coaches, and I know that firing coaches, it's a personal thing, and people get affected and all of that stuff. So I should know better on that front, but I should also know better on another front, and this is how we'll end it. Years from now, when the flowing locks of Broadway Trevor needs to pick the confetti out of those flowing locks, and he'll get used to it because, you know, he'll have multiple confetti type moments in the Canyon of Heroes. When those days happen and I look at you, Chris, and I'm so happy and I can't believe my good fortune in the same way that you spent 20 years in disbelief of your good Brady fortune and all Packers fans with Rodgers and Seahawks fans with Russ and obviously everything going down in Kansas City. I will have that one day too with Trevor Lawrence. And I will remember the hero, Greg Williams, who could not resist keeping it in his own pants, if you will, figuratively, could not resist trying to measure up with John Gruden, the guy who sent eight to Derek Carr. Greg Williams, and it's all said and done, I regret that tweet for obviously personal reasons, but I just regret it. I should be fetting him. We will raise a glass to Greg Williams, who saved the Jets, who made sure that that photograph of the future of Trevor Lawrence as it was fading like Marty McFly came right back into focus. He punched out Biff with that absurd call. I should be raising a glass to you, Greg Williams, via con Dios. Let's take a break. Peter King, when we come back, Pete Famel talking about what's going on in college football, Steve Kornacki in the playoff race, Damian Woody on all of this, and you, 844-204-RICH, will take your calls on an Overreaction Monday.
Support for this podcast comes from Pluto TV. Need an escape? Drop into Pluto TV for a world of free TV. Stream hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and shows all for free. Yeah. Free. No subscriptions, no fees. Imagine 24/7 channels of Narcos, CSI, Star Trek, Survivor, and everything else from hit movies to binge-worthy TV shows, the latest news, live sports, comedy, and more. What are you waiting for? Download the free Pluto TV app for Android, iPhone, Roku, and Fire TV and start streaming now. Pluto TV. Drop in, watch free.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. and I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com today. That's GEICO.com. All right, we're back. Peter King about to join us. So I booked Peter yesterday. I texted him during NFL game day morning. And he's been doing this lately, and I hope he doesn't mind that I share it with my audience. But it's fun. It just gives you window into what a delightful human Peter King is. So I feel a buzz in return on my text, and I look down, and it is Peter's number. And this is what popped up on my phone.
You know I'm free for your show. You absolutely know that I'm free for your show.
There you go. So,
Peter King, Bitmoji guy.
He is Bitmoji. He is beyond Bitmoji. I think if I look at my text exchange with Peter King, who's going to join us when our radio audience returns in just 30 seconds, I've got a bear, two bears, a koala on my phone.
Has he used the giraffe yet?
There's a giraffe.
Yeah, the giraffe.
Oh, the giraffe's a good one. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
The unicorn.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show. Pete Fammel's going to talk about college football. Steve Kornacki, who was awesome on Sunday Night Football, Football Night in America last night, he's going to join us in hour number two. And Damian Woody from ESPN and my buddy, who I just showed to the Peacock audience, radio audience, that he's a Bitmoji responder. Thankfully, he responded positively. It'd be difficult to get a I can't do it or I won't do it response when the emoji is like a dinosaur.
as a T-Rex.
Okay. Peter King. How are you, Peter?
Rich, I don't know. I discovered that, and now I'm being totally ridiculously obnoxious.
No, you're not. It's delightful, Peter. It's great. Yeah.
Like,
no,
if I text John Lynch, I don't send him one of those. I probably should. He'd get a kick out of
it. He would.
But, if I text Sean Payton, I'm probably not going to be sending him the the little kitten, Bitmoji or whatever they're called.
You
anyway,
never know.
I have fun with it.
You do, and it's great to have you here, and I appreciate you, T-Rex or Koala or Bear, just agreeing to do the show as always. So I guess let's get into the story of the moment that Greg Williams has been fired as the defensive coordinator. I just did see in the commercial break, speaking of emoji, the head slap emoji that Quinnen Williams, the one of the few Jets on defense that were drafted and are working out, he might not be agreeing with this. It was a head slap emoji from Quinnen Williams. I give you the floor on what went down over the last 24 hours at the Jets.
I mean, really, I'd say to Quinnen Williams or anybody, I mean, does it really matter? You know, I have a feeling that the outcry over the last, you know, whatever, 16 hours or whatever, however long before they actually fired him, all they are feeding somebody the wolves. You know, the Jets, what can they do? They just, they're going to fire everybody at the end of the year. What does it matter? Greg Williams gets a 4-week vacation and he gets a tremendous thing on his resume. He's the only defensive coordinator, I think, in NFL history to have coordinated defenses for teams that went over, you know, the Browns in 2017, 0-16, and the Jets in 2020, 0-12. So, you know, who knows? But Rich, I must say that even a football neophyte who has not watched much football would ask this question. Do you mean to tell me you did not give any safety help to Lamar Jackson, who this Lamar Jackson was an undrafted free agent rookie cornerback from Nebraska going up against the most desirable, fastest receiver in this year's draft and going up against him with no chance of any help? Dude, you're out on an island with Henry Ruggs III, and good luck. And that's what the Jets said to him. It was foolish. And look, I don't root for anybody to lose his or her job, but I thought that was an awful, awful decision by Greg Williams. Now, he makes those decisions often, and if it worked and they sacked him sack fumble, all that stuff, you know, everybody would be saying, oh, boy, that Greg Williams, man, riverboat gambler. But when it doesn't work and you lose the game because of it, you deserve to be held accountable.
Peter King here on the Rich Eisen Show. And let's talk about teams that are, I would say that are closer to relevance. The Eagles, though, are dwindling in that department. And right now, as you and I are talking, Doug Peterson is meeting with the Philadelphia media after putting Jalen Hurts into the game for the Eagles, benching Carson Wentz finally against Green Bay. Hurts did not look lost at all. He actually provided the spark that's necessary. Earlier today on the radio, Doug Peterson said he still had not made a decision as to who would start against the Saints. What is going on there? And is Doug Peterson, Howie Roseman, is everybody in trouble there right now?
You know, I don't know. That's a good question. I wouldn't be surprised if Doug was in trouble. You know, it's a little bit sad if he is, because I think he's a good coach who, I think, in my opinion, the mistakes that he's made this year have been made because he's trying to make something positive happen. And the fact is that it's hard to make something positive happen when your quarterback and your offensive line are both terrible. And unfortunately, that is what he's dealing with this year. In my opinion, when you wake up on Monday morning and you don't commit to your quarterback, you're probably going to change your quarterback. In my opinion, too, I think it's a smart decision. And again, not that this means that Carson Wentz's Eagles career is over, because I don't think it is. But I do think that after a while, especially in a voracious town like Philadelphia with the fans and the media, after a while, you've just got to, for kind of the mental health of your quarterback and your team, you got to try something else. That's what I would do if I were him, and I think he probably will do it.
Peter King here on the Rich Eisen Show. In your history of covering this sport, your lush history, Pete Rozelle winner and so on and so forth, or I'm sorry, a McCann Award winner, at the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Has there ever been a 5-7 coach thrown into the mix for Coach of the Year, as Joe Judge appears to be right now, Peter?
Well, you think back to when they were 0-5, and they look like absolute lost sheep in the pasture of life. and since then, you know, they're 5-2, and if you take the two games they lost, they lost very narrowly to Philadelphia, and they lost a game that, honestly, Daniel Jones threw away against the Bucks at home on a Monday night. They should have beaten Tom Brady. And so I think what has happened with the Giants is that you basically see, I mean, this is a team that in this highest scoring, one of the highest scoring, most offensive seasons in NFL history, the Giants over the last 7 weeks are giving up 19 points a game, which is fairly incredible, especially when you have very few household names, even in their own households, on that defense. So I think Joe Judge and Patrick Graham, Jason Garrett, have really done a terrific job in making a non-competitive team competitive.
So I'll ask you a question that might be jumping the gun a little bit here, but you know the way, as you mentioned, coaches talk after on a Monday. Joe Judge said that the team would give Daniel Jones every chance to prove that he can be healthy enough to play. Does that mean there's a door open for Colt McCoy, a more veteran hand here that Joe Judge could actually turn to? Because, as you know, I don't think there's a sacred cow in with Joe Judge. That's what I've kind of learned for the first 12 weeks here.
You know what I think he's doing? I think he's basically saying that I am not putting Daniel Jones back in the lineup until, A, he can run around very similar to what he usually does, and, B, so that he can protect himself. I don't think he is leaving the door open for Colt McCoy to beat out Daniel Jones. But let's just say, for the sake of argument, that Colt McCoy plays again on Sunday against Arizona, that Arizona's got to come across the country again like they did last week to New England, played poorly and lost. To me, if I were Cliff Kingsbury, by the way, I'd be watching that Giants tape and I would be, I don't want to say the word frightened, but I would think, oh my God, we looked at the schedule at the beginning of the year and we were saying, oh good, we got a trip to East Rutherford in December. That'll be good. Well, all of a sudden it's not looking so good. But no, I don't think he is dangling the permanent starting carrot in front of Colt McCoy's face. I think that Daniel Jones gets the job back when he's ready.
Okay, a few minutes left here with Peter King on the Rich Eisen Show. Suss out the bottom of the NFC wildcard race right now. I mean, the Vikings are your seventh seed. The Niners tonight have an opportunity to join the Vikings at 6-6. And then you've got a team in Arizona that is appearing to just absolutely fall apart. And I'm wondering how, you know, you look at this. You got the Bears at 5-7. The Lions at 5-7 are a different, completely different 5-7 because they just won to get to that mark. Walk me through with the Bucks coming off of a bye, sitting in front of this group by just one game right here. How do you assess it?
My feeling is San Francisco is right now, today, even playing Nick Mullins, more of a better team to me than either Minnesota or Arizona. But again, it won't matter if they don't beat Buffalo tonight. But if they do beat Buffalo, I think we would all say, okay, they are coming back. And while they're keeping the seat warm for Kittle and Garoppolo, who will come back most likely for the last two games, I think they're a dangerous team right now. That team that went to LA last week and won, they have a better defense than they should have, you know, without Bosa. And then, you know, now getting Richard Sherman back. I think I would respect them the most if they got the 6-6. Thought it was interesting last night that Steve Kornacki, using Pro Football Focus numbers,
yes,
had Arizona so much more highly respected than the Vikings, which I thought was just odd, quite honestly, because I've watched Arizona play and I know they got to come to play the Giants, you know, on Sunday. And then they still have two NFC West games left in the last 3 weeks. I don't share PFF's love of the Cardinals right now.
Well, maybe, you know, neither do I, to be quite honest with you. Or maybe they're just looking at Minnesota, who has a visit to Tampa next, and then have got a date at
New Orleans on Christmas.
Right. So that might be just like looking at everything considered. But if Cousins doesn't make mistakes, they have potentially the best running back in the NFL when healthy behind him, or yeah, next to him, and Dalvin Cook. And this kid, Justin Jefferson,
is amazing. Good a rookie receiver,
right,
as I've seen come into the league as a rookie in years.
Exactly.
He is so smooth, so fast. He reminds me, too, Rich, if you watch him, he reminds me, he's got a little bit of physicality to him that really might surprise you a little bit. He knows already when he can be physical, when he can get away with something. He reminds me of Michael Irvin a little bit. Michael Irvin was always the king of the push-off right at the last second so that nobody could see it unless you looked very, very carefully. He was great at it. And I think Justin Jefferson has a little bit of all of that in him right now. And, you know, it's amazing, Rich, when you think about this, that Justin Jefferson basically was traded straight up, and not even straight up because the Vikings got more out of it, a fourth, fifth, and sixth round pick. But he was traded straight up for Stephon Diggs.
Yep.
And he will make less in the next 4 years than Stephon Diggs makes this year. So you say, boy, you know, everybody was killing the Vikings for losing Diggs, and I get it. But Diggs also led to a lot of drama in Minnesota. And here's a drama-free guy at a very low cost who could catch 400 balls in the next 4 years. It's I'm wild by him, really, honestly.
Last one for you, Peter King. A team is, you know, the old Parcells axiom, you are what you are. And at 9-3, you are a 9-3 team. And in a vacuum, let's not look at the history, obviously, but in this vacuum, when you've got a quarterback not making any mistakes, five straight games without an interception, and you've got a two-headed monster at running back behind an offensive line that Bill Callahan is coaching and is totally remade, and a defensive player of the year candidate, and a defense that is balling out, and a head coach that is clearly getting bought what he is selling, you've got an outstanding football team. Where do you term the Cleveland Browns right now? Where do you place
them?
Here's
the thing with the Browns. Look, the Browns yesterday, in my opinion, basically made the playoffs. So now the whole issue is the top of the AFC obviously has two teams at the very top. And again, I'm not trying to get ahead of anything right now, but the biggest question about the Browns is, are they in position to be able to beat Pittsburgh and Kansas City on the road within 8 days? That's the big question, you know, and look, I think it's easy for us to sit here and say, well, you know, just take it in stages. If they could win one playoff game this year, mm-hmm. if they could win, let's say, at Indy or at Tennessee or, you know, whatever, at Buffalo, let's say, who knows. But if they could win one playoff game, that is a tremendous accomplishment. And it is. But I'm trying to look ahead. And again, I'm not saying it's easy to win a playoff game, but Cleveland is playing so well right now and played so well yesterday, other than the second half on defense, that you're starting to say, is it possible that they could win more than one playoff game in January? It's possible, but I still think Pittsburgh and Kansas City and the AFC right now are a cut above.
I don't know. We said the same thing about Tennessee last year, and they won and done Tom Brady and then went mm-hmm. ahead and won and done Lamar Jackson. And what did Tennessee have?
No question.
They had a quarterback who didn't make mistakes and a running game that was very difficult and a defense that was opportunistic, and the offense could go up top when they needed to off a play-action game. It was respected because of the running game. That, to me, sounds like the Cleveland Browns, Peter.
You're right, but just remember, six seeds like Tennessee are rare.
Yeah.
And just because it happened in 2019, it doesn't mean that it's going to happen this year. But you know what? If Baker Mayfield throws downfield with the accuracy that he did mm-hmm. yesterday,
yep.
and if he doesn't turn it over, the Browns can win any game they play.
Peter, thanks for the time. Really appreciate it, everybody. Check out Football
Rich.
Morning in America. Thanks for the
All
call,
the best
Peter.
To you.
You got it. That's Peter King. I mean, he did throw it down the field with accuracy. Also, you know,
sure did.
Donovan Peoples-Jones was wide open for one, but that's again the play action game and just the concept of run and the way that they're scheming. And the Peoples-Jones touchdown is one of my favorite things to see because I know Browns fans who are flipping out over Peoples-Jones. No, deep down, that's a Michigan man, and we got to get our wins wherever we can. Pete Thamel is going to join us about what is going on in the world of college football that is revolving quite a bit around my alma mater, which is either going to come out of COVID protocols today to get ready for Ohio State or not. There's lots to talk about there. Your phone calls when we come back at 844-204-RICH.
Support for this podcast comes from Pluto TV. Need an escape? Drop into Pluto TV for a world of free TV. Stream hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and shows all for free. Yeah, free. No subscriptions, no fees. Imagine 24/7 channels of Narcos, CSI, Star Trek, Survivor, and everything else from hit movies to binge-worthy TV shows, the latest news, live sports, comedy, and more. What are you waiting for? Download the free Pluto TV app for Android, iPhone, Roku, and Fire TV and start streaming now. Pluto TV. Drop in, watch free.
Hey, everybody. The Rich Eisen Show store is open. Go to richeisenstore.com. Be the first on your block with one of these babies. T-shirts, both long and, of course, short sleeve in white or heather gray. We've got hats, people. And, of course, start your day with a cup of joe and a Rich Eisen Show coffee mug. Go to richeisenstore.com and shop your head off right now. RichEisenStore.com, everybody. Go and check it out just in time for the holidays. We'd greatly appreciate it. A mug just like this one. And maybe I should do a video just showing off about how you pour something in it and the mug holds it.
Like a mug?
Yeah, and then I could put on a shirt and just show how the shirt has a hole for your head and two for your arm.
I like it.
And just show how functional our stuff is.
They're not just show.
I'm into it.
You know what I mean?
I think we should do that today.
I don't know about that.
I mean,
we got a lot to do after the show today. Very exciting stuff coming down the pike for the rest of 2020 and then obviously 2021, including our postseason coverage. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We're back here on the Rich Eisen Show. We're pleased to be here on our radio affiliates, coast to coast. It's Sirius XM Channel 211, NBC Sports Audio every day on after Dan Patrick, just like NBC Sports on Peacock, which everyone out there, if you're listening, go get Peacock. It is free, and you can watch us every single day here on the show. Let's go to Chris in Athens, Georgia, has been hanging on the longest. First in, first up. What's up, Chris?
Wow. You tried to talk me off the ledge on Friday about the Raiders, and I was face down on the couch most of the game on Sunday.
Yep.
But I turned it off after the 4th-and-3 play, only to discover later that we'd somehow won the game.
Chris, how old are you, Chris? Yeah. Chris, how old are you, Chris?
52.
Okay, so you should know.
I've been a Raiders fan for 44 years.
You should know, Chris. Wow. You should know, Chris. When Heidi came on, the Raiders scored twice after the Heidi movie started. You watched the Jets and the Raiders to its conclusion, Chris. You know that. Come on now.
I know.
Focus, Chris. Focus.
I just couldn't. The offense had disappeared for the entire second half after that first drive. I just figured it was over.
No. Greg Williams is going to go call that coverage. You know, two times in a row he's going to do it. Obviously, against his head coach's better wishes. And there's definitely something going on between the two of these guys. Has been for some time. At least Jamal Adams wasn't caught in the middle of it and sent somewhere else. Oh, wait a minute. That did happen. My bad. But your Raiders are 7-5, and the Raiders are right there. You know, it's amazing, and I appreciate the call, sir. Hang in there with your Raiders, certainly against the Jets. Didn't we say, Chris, didn't one of my downs was that a 10-win team was going to be left at home in the NFC? It looks like it's a 10-win team maybe in the AFC is going to be left home. 7-5 is not good enough. 7-5, you need to be better than 7-5 right now. That's the same record as the Bucs. That's good enough for the 6th seed in the NFC.
Yeah, Colts and Dolphins are 6-7 right now. They're 8-4.
That 7-5 not good enough. And the not Ravens are going to be 7-5 by tomorrow night.
Oh.
Oh, please.
Oh, please. I mean, Lamar hasn't played in 2 weeks.
That's fine. Don't worry about it.
Wow.
Just talked to Michael Irvin. That's what he said for 4 straight hours yesterday.
Well, he's trying to reverse jinx.
Maybe.
Settle down just a little bit.
And then there are the Patriots at 6-6.
Still alive.
Not dead yet. How many shots have they taken?
Jeez.
5 shots. They've taken 6 shots.
God.
They are still alive.
Still alive. They hit him with 5 shots and he's still alive.
That's right. The Don rest his soul.
And if Cam doesn't fumble against Buffalo, win. Scores against Seattle from the one, win. That's 8-4. So I know. Close.
I know.
But they got no shot.
I'll tell you what, though. Oh, that your outfit looks nothing like it. But it's a very nice attempt. You're trying.
The hats.
Look, there's a pink in the.
No. It's as close as he possibly can.
I just don't own
get.
A tan jacket. No, I this is no, all.
I think
it's. Close.
I think I appreciate your moxie. Is all I'm saying. I appreciate your moxie. Man. You know, as I tweeted out yesterday. No matter the situation for the Patriots, if you think they're down, you think they're not as good, they will always have special teams. Always, always, always. That is Bill Belichick. Yeah, that is his forte and specialty out of all of his fortes and specialties. Mike Mayock always told me the story when he showed up in the locker room fresh off of being a Pittsburgh Steeler, showed up in the locker room for the Giants as a player, and the first guy he met. One of the first guys he met was Bill Belichick because Mayock was on special teams, and that was what Belichick did for Parcells.
Mike, do your job.
Thank you very much. And I'll tell you what, they will always have special teams. Always, always, always.
That game was a pick'em yesterday. And actually, I think the Chargers closed as favorites.
Pick'em apart is really what it was. Justin Herbert.
45-0.
Justin Herbert looks much older than his photograph now after yesterday. And I'll tell you this, brother. with the Chargers, you know, if they respect Anthony Lynn, it does not show it. And Anthony Lynn is a highly respected individual in this profession. And they did not do their coach any favors yesterday. And then the coach leaving Justin Herbert in with 2 minutes to go. Herbert said he didn't want to come out because his teammates were on the field. Well, it's too bad. This is where your coach basically says, all right, you imagine if he had gotten hurt in the last 2 minutes of that game. 45-0, a total disaster. And the same way that the Patriots will always have special teams, no matter the flaws of the Chargers, their worst flaw will always be special teams. It's the exact opposite. They will always have a kicker who can't kick the field goal or have it blocked.
Right.
They'll always have that kicker they won't trust. They'll have to go for it on fourth down when they shouldn't. They'll always have the punt blocked. They'll always have something returned against them. It's amazing. Let's go to Bob in Youngstown, Ohio. You're on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Bob?
Rich, how are you? Long time, first time.
Attaboy, where you been?
Since the ESPN days.
Okay, good. Great. Good to chat then.
So on an overreaction Monday,
okay.
I have to go after you and Peter King so far about my Cleveland Browns.
Why?
While this offense is prolific in certain areas, they're prolific against horrendously bad defenses. And the X factor, while everybody will point to the quarterback, is the next.
Oh, we just lost.
Yeah, he just dropped off.
So here, let me just say this. I would have said this to him because I knew where he was going. You know, the Titans are horrendously bad defense, okay? How did they look against Indianapolis? How did they look against the Ravens the week before? Come on now. The Titans aren't world beaters. You know, they have trouble rushing the passer. Certainly with Jadeveon Clowney now out reportedly for the entire year. They got a problem there. But you can't just sit here. That's a horrendously bad defense. When you go into their house and put 38 up on them, then that's what you're supposed to do against a horrendously bad defense. You cannot tell a team that is 9-3, this is what you should be doing, when their entire franchise is not doing what they should be doing. They're doing what they should be doing. Browns fans don't know how to compute that. Because they've always done the exact opposite of what they should be doing, whether it's one and dunning a coach or having a general manager texting somebody or doing whatever they're doing, moving, you know, out from Cleveland to go to Baltimore or whatever the hell's going on. Telling Bill Belichick you're out. You know, come on now. So Don Bowie's getting in my ear right now. The Titans are the 8th ranked scoring defense. You know what I mean? Come on, Browns fans, do it and enjoy it. Enjoy it. I come on the air here and raving about how great it is that my team is, you know, 0-12, because that's what has to happen. You found the coach. Apparently, it looks like the right thing. Who's got roll the sound? This is Baker Mayfield, who's been more self-aware than ever. Go ahead.
What's different about you now as opposed to a month ago, last year, whatever? Is it something looks different? What's different?
Whenever I'm about to do something, I think, would an idiot do that? And if they would, then I don't do that.
All right, very good. Words to live by, actually. We should all walk around that way.
That's a
every
good
day.
Job, too.
I definitely don't live like that.
Words to live by.
Try, Mike.
Come on now. Let's go, Browns fans. You're 9-3. Here we go. Next up is Baltimore. Can't be just like we're not supposed to. I mean, we're not as good as we think we are because we're destroying teams that we should beat. You've reached the plateau of beating teams that you should beat, which has never happened. Hour two coming up. We're still here on Peacock. Come on now. Our friend in Youngstown, Ohio. Come on. Oh, man. Baker Mayfield, is he the right guy or is he not?
He was the right guy this week.
Nick Chubb, can he stay healthy or can he not? Miles Garrett, is he out of his mind or is he not? So on and so forth and so on and so forth. But here we are a week past Thanksgiving, and this team is 9-3, and there's only three other teams in professional football with better records. That's where we are right now.
Need a fifth poll option on Twitter.
Why?
I just put out a who's the best team. And
wait, I mean,
Packers and Browns are kind of a toss-up for the fourth option.
Who's the best team in the NFL?
Yeah. There's not a real great team this year.
Or you could just say, how far do the Browns go?
Well, that's a good one. Let's do that one. Let's do a second one.
What are you typing up there, Mikey? You doing paperwork over there?
I just
there?
Saw something and just like rang a bell. Breakdancing is now an Olympic sport. I want to be the DJ for that event. I mean,
and so you went to tweet about it.
Yep.
Even though we're up against the final seconds of the hour.
I don't still talk at the end.
Even though we're having a conversation.
But so I don't know. I don't talk at the end. Now I am.
He's right. He doesn't say that if an idiot's going to do it, I shouldn't do it. He actually just put it into practice.
I know.
Just saw it.
Welcome to the MIP.
Yeah.
The Michael Irvin Podcast.
You knew this was coming.
Guess who?
We start this thing off. Join me every week for the Michael Irvin Podcast. We'll give you the full MIP experience. I'm talking everything from football to fashion. I will be chopping it up with playmakers, headline makers, and I am throwing haymakers. I'm the MVP of the MIP. Don't miss it.
Download new episodes of the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast, every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify.